Good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is GARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System provided by Kilo Bravo 8 Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at www.scarsvoip.com. You have many net controls and presenters this evening. I'm merely opening it up this evening. My call is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. My name is Kathleen. I'm located in the city of Port St. Lucie, Florida, where we currently have a temperature of 74 degrees Fahrenheit, high today of about 80, and maybe a low tonight of about 67. Prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, I ask you to come aboard. Well, hearing no emergency traffic, that's always a great thing. But how about anyone celebrating a birthday? Maybe today, maybe yesterday, last week, or the upcoming week that would like to come aboard so we could say happy, happy. All right, no birthdays. As I always say, that means we're not getting any older. You know, this is the monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. And I do want to advise you, if you've been part of this session this evening, you'll most definitely be part of the recording, which is usually posted shortly after the net is finished or the very next day. Our program tonight is on POTA, Parks on the Air. Like I said, we have quite a few presenters. We're going to start off this evening by turning it over to KY6V to begin. And let's just have some fun this evening. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. KY6V, are you all ready?
I think so. Hey, thank you, Kathy. Good evening, everybody. And welcome to the February TIN. We're going to be covering, as Kathy said, Parks on the Air this evening. The subject for tonight was picked due to its popularity, fun, in use, I might add, an easy, comfortable way in using its program style. Parks on the Air, POTA, P-O-T-A, started in early 2017 when the ARRL National Parks on the Air special events ended. And a group of volunteers wanted to continue the fun beyond the one-year event, and thus POTA was born. The program discussion will include the reason behind its formation, its rules and regulations, its manner of operation, and its logging and accounting system of operation. So, without further ado, let me start out with our first narrator, and that's David, KW8SZL, over in Wales. David, are you ready, sir? From KY6V, over.
KY6V from Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima. Yep, good evening there, Captain. Yep, I am ready to go, and here we go. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Dave, Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima here from the UK. General information about the program, the POTA program that is available at parksontheair.com. That is Papa Alpha, Romeo Kilo, Sierra Oscar November, Tango Hotel Echo, Alpha India Romeo.com. Parksontheair.com. So we highly recommend checking out the information there. You may also want to join the POTA Slack channel or the POTA Facebook group, where you can easily interact with the POTA community online. Now, POTA also maintains accounts on Twitter and Mastodon. That's Mike Alpha Sierra Tango, Oscar Delta, Oscar November, if you prefer to interact on those social media platforms. Once you're ready to start, just remember that the golden rules of POTA are to have fun and keep it simple. We want to give you as much flexibility as possible to have fun your way. Getting started with POTA can happen via one of two paths: as an activator who heads out to the packs, or as a hunter who is trying to contact somebody in a pack. Now, the easiest way to participate in POTA is as a hunter, so we'll start there. Now, this is getting started for hunters. Hunters are individuals located anywhere who contact the activators in the pack. As a hunter, the rules are few and simple. Follow the law, follow the DX code of conduct, and follow the golden rule. Now, the first place to start as a hunter is to head over to https://pota.app. That's Papa Oscar Tango Alpha dot Alpha Papa Papa. The homepage you land on will be the spotting page, which lets you know who is on the air, what packs they're in, and what frequencies and modes they are currently operating on. Spin the dial and answer their call if you can hear them. If you make a contact, you've officially started in POTA. And that's all there is to it. Now, while at the POTA.app site, click the sign up button to create an account. And that will let you see your progress towards certificates and awards based on the logs that the activators you contacted submitted. POTA is on the honor system, based exclusively on activator logs. So as a hunter, you don't have to lift a finger other than the one that hits the R key or PTT. Let me reset. Okay, having covered the hunters, I'm going to go over to the activators. Now, activators are the individuals that pack up their portable gear and head out to a park and set up a station. After you've done some hunting, you might want to take a shot at activating. Now, the rules for activators are still fairly simple, and they are: follow the law, follow the DX code of conduct, follow the golden rule, and leave no trace, and follow any instructions from park rangers you encounter. Be courteous to the public space you are using. You must have an account registered at the POTA.app website. You and all your equipment must be within the boundaries of the park. You must submit an ADIF log after your activation is complete, and follow the rules detailed at docs.pota.app. That's Delta Oscar Charlie Sierra dot Papa Oscar Tango Alpha dot Alpha Papa Papa. Let me reset. Now, once familiar with the rules, head to the map. That's pota.app/#/map. Allow location services to quickly zoom to your location, or use the drop-downs to choose an entity and location. There are yellow dots at approximate locations of parks in your area. Check official sources, park websites, etc., and ensure you are within the park's boundary. Once you've chosen a location in the park, set up your gear, find a quiet frequency, and start calling CQ. Now, while doing your initial CQ calls, you want to head over to the POTA.app site and click the button to add a spot. Once you've spotted yourself, the hunters will probably come fast and furious, so prepare to start logging your QSOs. You can use any login method that generates a valid ADIF file. Refer to the login requirements section of the rules for the required fields. After generating your ADIF file, head to the My Log Upload section of the website. You'll find it under your call sign in the menu, and use the file dialog to upload your logs. You'll see your stats within a few hours, and any earned awards will start to populate through. Now, at this point, you can sit back and congratulate yourself on joining the ranks as an activator. Okay, at this point, I wonder if anybody would like to check in. Do they have any comments or questions? If so, come now with your call signs, please. From Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima.
Kilo 3, Juliet Romeo Zulu. Kilo 3, Juliet Romeo Zulu.
Okay, I've got Mr. Jeff there from Delaware. Is there anybody else?
Kilo 2, Hotel Alpha.
I have you, Fred, on the list. Anyone else?
November 4, Foxtrot Tango Delta.
Okay, I'm going to hold it there. I've got K3JRZ. That's Jeff. K2HA, Fred. And November 4, Foxtrot Tango Delta. And that's Paul. So I'm going to go to the top of the list. And nice to hear you on here there, Jeff. And you made it. K3JRZ, TW8SRL. Go ahead, Jeff.
Good evening, Dave. Yeah, there's a few call signs I recognize from other locations, other nets. Hope everyone's doing good. I like the fact that you brought up the DX Code of Conduct. I'm a firm believer that that should be followed because you should treat everyone the way that you would want to be treated. Just my own philosophy. I'm sure a lot of people share that same thing. And, I do participate in Parks on the Air actively. I'm not a super activator, but I try to go out at least once a week, pending the weather. And I put my activations on the on YouTube. You can search by my call sign, K3JRZ, and I'm working on other videos that are POTA-related, or actually just amateur radio-related that revolve around Parks on the Air that are not activation-based. But I am interested in hearing the rest of tonight's net. So I'll send it back to you, Dave, K3JRZ.
K3JRZ, GW8SRL. Okay there, Jeff, and thank you very much for that. And, yeah, we need dry weather over here, and we don't get much of that in South Wales, that's for sure. But we're hoping. Maybe I might do a bit of hunting sometime very, very soon there. And, we'll catch you on the PyNet as well. John W2JLD is this week, and I'll be back up again next week. So thank you very much there, Jeff. That's appreciated. Next we got Fred, the happy amateur. K2HA, it's your turn. Fred, go ahead, sir.
Well, thank you, Dave, talking about hunting and activating. Appreciate that, and we are we're looking forward to hearing everybody tonight. And one of the things I wanted to point out is, as an activator, you can use that. They started the system last year to upload directly to the website. And but if you're new to activation and you don't want to do it that way, you can still use the old system, the manual log, which would then you click on the button there that says manual log entry and follow the directions, and it's an email to your section coordinator who uploads then for you, and you can discuss with them any problems you have. Okay, this is Fred, K2HA.
K2HA from GW8SRL. Yeah, thank you very much, sir, for that, Fred. I know a lot of sites and whatever where you upload logs, contest logs, etc., have gone the automatic way, but it's nice to know that you can still talk to a human and in case there's any problems there. That's interesting. Thank you very much for that. Do you have any further comments there, Fred, before I move down to Paul?
No, but I do a heck of a lot of hunting, but I haven't got out to the activation. One of these days, I'm going to be out there in the park and start throwing my call letter out into the ether and see who comes back. Okay, Dave, keep up the good work.
Yeah, okay there, Fred. Where you are up there in Philadelphia, I think you might be getting a lot of rain as well, like we do on a regular basis down here in South Wales. So, we might get to activate in a park as soon as the sun appears. But we don't know when that's going to be. Okay, thanks, Fred, for your comments. And we're going to go move down to Paul there. November 4, Foxtrot Tango Delta. Go ahead there, Paul.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Just wanted to get myself on the list here and also get an audio check, make sure everything's working okay. I've been doing a little bit of a crazy running around here trying to get everything functional. Had a busy day at work and got back just in time to turn everything on. So let me know how my audio sounds, and then I'll listen for my next turn. This is N4FTD, and hello to everyone on the net.
Yeah, N4FTD from GW8SL. Yep, they're sounding very, very good this end there, Paul. And I see you coming through through All-Star as well. So not a problem. So do you have anything further comments there at this time there, Paul? Go ahead, sir.
Nope, I'll just take my turn when it's my turn, and I'll be listening and enjoying the net. N4FTD.
Okay, N4FTD from GW8SNL. Yep, thanks for pressing that PTT and checking in there. Okay, at this point, I'm going to go and look for the chief, and that's W4RFJ, the radio frequency junkie. Are you out there, chief?
Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima. This is W4RFJ. Is my audio okay, sir?
Yep, it's absolutely Lima Charlie, chief. Go ahead.
Fantastic. Okay, well, hello all. Chief here, also known as Roger, W4RFJ. It's very important that you understand that participation in Parks on the Air, otherwise known as POTA, is at your own risk of injury or death. The conditions of your radio license, all local and federal laws and regulations must be followed. They supersede anything contained in these documents. So if you're doing it right, you don't have to worry about death. It's, that's up to the main man upstairs. At a foundational level, POTA is about radio operators visiting parks and making contacts from within the parks with other radio operators at any location. The following sections go into more detail, formally defining this. Let me grab a nickel. All right, there's three main key definitions that we need to be aware of. One of them is activator. An activator is a licensed amateur radio operator in a park on POTA's designated list and contacts other licensed amateurs. That is the activator. The hunter is any other licensed radio operator who contacts an activator at a park. The term chaser is sometimes synonymously used. You know, I did graduate college, so I'm allowed to use those big words. Okay, and last but not least is activity. The act of an activator visiting a park intending to operate POTA is termed an activity. Oh, I said activator. It's activity. Sorry about that. Okay, let me grab another nickel. All right, activations and attempts. Okay, a successful activation requires a minimum of 10 QSOs from a park in the designation list within a single UTC day. That's Zulu Day, or Uniform Coordinated Time. Courteous activators will still submit logs for unsuccessful activations to ensure their hunters get credit for the QSOs. Multiple activities at the same park in the same state, province, or entity and the same UTC day count as a single activation, provided that the 10 or more QSOs combined were made. All right, next is we got bands and modes. All bands and modes available to the activator based on their license class may be used in Parks on the Air. According to the details specified in the logging requirements section of this document, note POTA is not a contest. POTA QSOs may take place on any amateur band, including the WARC bands. That's 30, 17, and 12. Land repeaters are not allowed. Contacts made via land repeaters are not permitted. Refer to Parks on the Air's glossary for the definition of a land repeater as it pertains to POTA. And you may use a repeater to request direct contacts, but the QSO submitted for activator credit should not be via a LAN repeater. Let me reset the timers. Okay. Now, satellite repeaters are allowed. Satellite contacts are permitted. Refer to Parks on the Air Glossary for the definition of a satellite repeater as it pertains to POTA. Logs should be submitted with the band information for the activator's transmit frequency. Spotting, you may self-spot yourself on the POTA spotting page. Anyone, including hunters, can also respot you, regardless of whether they are working that activator. Spots will disappear from the spotting page approximately 30 minutes after the last spot, or if the spot comment marks QRT. If you are activating a park but also leveraging the QSOs for getting credit for the other programs, operating from a park for ARRL field day, there may be rules against self-spotting in the other program. Please operate in the spirit of the programs. Okay, number five here, power limits. POTA does not have a power limit. However, you must still adhere to the legal limits based on your license, class, band plans, and use the minimum transmitting power necessary to carry out the desired communications. And last but not least, fully automated QSOs are prohibited. Each contact must include direct action by both operators making the contact. Fully automated contacts are permitted. So at this time, I'd like to take some check-ins. Anybody else want to check in to the South Cars Thursday Information Net? Please call W4RFJ.
KG7IK.
Hello, too, Delta Yankee.
Okay, the net recognizes KG7IK and Delta Yankee. Is there anybody else that would like to join this list and check in with us?
To Mike Delta Alpha. Victor Uniform to Mike Delta Alpha from India.
Okay, we'll put you on the caboose there. Victor Uniform 2, Mike Delta Alpha in India. Please stand by. KG7IK, it's over to you, sir. Good evening. This is W4RFJ with the South Cars Thursday Information Net. Good evening, and how are you?
Alpha Golf 7, India Kilo. Good afternoon, Chief, and the rest of the net, and thanks for putting this on. Got some experience as a hunter, a little tiny bit as an activator, but one thing I see brought over and over is follow the law, and that's a great thing. Here in the area of southeast Idaho, we recently had the section manager put out a notice. Apparently we had some POTA hunters get into trouble, and it comes down to don't argue with the ranger. And the second point was it might be a good idea to check with the park service before activating in the park, because sometimes they have specific rules. One of my favorite areas, the one that I first tried an activation in, for instance, is currently closed. It's a wildlife management area, and it's closed to everybody, not just radio amateurs, for the safety and wintering of the wildlife there. Back to Matt.
Okay, Jerry, well, thank you for adding that. That's wouldn't that be an activator? I thought the hunters can do it from anywhere. I guess the hunter could be out at a park, too. I guess you don't have to be at a park to be a hunter. But, okay, very good. Thanks, Jerry. Delta Yankee, Robert, the professor from Down Under. Good evening, sir, or good morning, I should say, for you. And how the heck are you, shipmate? It's been a while.
Yes, good morning to you from here. Good evening to you. This is Robert, Victor Kilo 2, Delta Yankee. Where am I? Seven Hills, New South Wales, but all part of the urban sprawl that is Sydney. I'm out running some errands here, and I'm in a suburb called Seven Hills at the moment. It is just on 29 degrees Celsius, 85 Fahrenheit, nowhere near the high yet today. We're experiencing a little bit of summer finally here in Australia. As far as... thank you again. Yeah, it's been a long time, Chief. Good to talk to you again. Just had a question. So parks are officially registered on the list. So how does a park get on the list, and are not all parks qualified to be activated? VK2DY, back to Ned.
Oh boy, well you'd have to throw that at me, didn't you? I'll be honest with you, I do not know unless they went through the National Registry and just put them on a list. I'm not sure. K2HA, you've been doing that kind of stuff. You impressed me with your spotting software and stuff. Do you have an answer for that question? Over.
Yeah, a park, to become a Parks on the Air, has to be a governmental entity. In other words, it has to be controlled and owned by the government, either a city or a federal, county, but some government entity, and doesn't make any difference what part of the world you're in, but it can't be private land, and so it needs to be officially a governmental park. Okay, this is Frank, K2HA. Back to you, Chief.
Okay, well, I get that. I guess I don't quite understand why or how the parks get on the list, but I guess if you're activating, that's when you put it in there. But all right, let's see. I got one more station. Just moved my log here. Sorry about that. Victor Uniform 2, Mike Delta Alpha in India. Come on aboard, and what's going on your part of the planet? W4RFJ.
W4RFJ, W4RFJ. This is Victor Uniform 2, Mike Delta Alpha from India. Very good morning, and good evening there. Good morning to everybody is there, those who are listening. And all of you coming here fine and blasting through a calling, thundering like a local station in my city of Coimbatore in South India. Here my handle sounder operating from Coimbatore, South India. I want to just check in and check out and supporting the net only. Otherwise, local time is around 6 a.m., Friday morning, 6 a.m. here in India. Otherwise, 73 is, and have a pleasant day there, one and all. Over to the net controller from Victor Uniform 2, Mike Delta Alpha.
Okay, Sounder, we got you loud and clear, and thanks for joining us this evening. And I guess that's the bottom of my list, so I think what we'll do is move on to KO4UMQ, Woody Squared. Woody, you available to pick up where I left off? Maybe you might find some answers to some of the questions we've been getting here. This is W4RFJ passing the baton.
Well, good evening, everyone. This is Woody, KO4UMQ, and I will be continuing where Roger last ended. Just to give everybody a heads up, we're dealing with some storms here in my area in Kentucky, so if I go quiet or if I have to jump off here to activate a net, you'll know what happened. But anyways, continuing on, activation location and access. Activations must be performed from parks in POTA's designated list, which are also open to the public. A park is considered open when the public has civil and legal access or a special permission permit to the public lands defined by the park boundary map is attainable. Such access must comply with any other specific civil or legal restrictions mentioned by the governing agency and website. A park is closed when the governing agency or website clearly says that public access is prohibited or when the park itself ceases to exist. Seasonal closure of facilities, concessions, offices, some gates, and even large portions of the park may still allow lawful access to the remainder. If in doubt, please call the park office or administrators. And number two, The activator and all equipment must be within the park's boundary and on public property. Use maps provided by POTA as guidelines only. Refer to official park websites and agencies to find the official boundaries. Activations from vehicles, RVs, and etc. parked on the public property within the park's boundary are permissible. Aeronautical activations are permitted if the QSOs are made from airspace directly above the park. And number three, activators may not trespass on private property to access state or provincial or federal lands. Let me grab a nickel. KO4UMQ returning. And number four, activators may not attempt to activate from private property, even if the private property is adjacent to or surrounded by park property. And number five, if a trail system or a river is designated as a POTA entity by itself, not as parts of the land park having a defined boundary, the activator and the station equipment must be on public property within 3.5 meters or 100 feet from the edge of the trail or river. And number six, activations of multiple references, also called multi-lock or two-fer or three-fer, etc., are permitted within POTA. Activation locations and access rule number one applies to simultaneous activations, such a multi-park activation requires an overlapped area where all activated parks' boundaries intersect. The intersection must entirely contain the activator and the station equipment, and a separate log must be submitted for each park of the multi-park simultaneously activation. Let me reset the timers, please. Next up, hunter location. The hunter hunter can contact the activator from home or any other property or station. If a hunter is also at a designated POTA park, the QSO becomes a park-to-park, or P2P. All other activator rules have to be followed for it to be a valid park-to-park QSO. See our park-to-park page for more information. So, logging requirements. Number one, logs have to be submitted following the logging requirements documented below to count as valid activation. Hunters do not submit logs to the program. Only activators do. Hunters earn credit through the activator's logs. Number two, there are no time limits for log submission. Courteous operators upload their logs without excessive delay, and hunters depend on the activator's log for credit and awards. Number three, one log can cover multiple activity days, but should be for only one park in a single location, in case the park straddles multiple locations. This is also applies to club and multiple operator activities. Let me grab a nickel. KO4UMQ returning. And continuing on, number four, logs must be in ADIF format with exceptions identified at the end of this section. You can see the activator reference section for a detailed description of how we use these ADIF fields. And the list of required fields should have your station, call sign, or the operator. Club group logs must include both station call sign and operator fields for each QSO, with the station call sign field containing the club or group's call sign. And individual logs should contain the same call in both fields or include only one of the fields. You should also have your call, the QSO date, the time on, the band, the mode or sub-mode, which POTUS stores a single mode field. If both mode and sub-mode are provided, sub-mode supersedes mode. A few of the optional fields is MySig, MySig Info, the SIG, the SIG Info, and MyState. Exceptions to ADIF accepted by POTA. POTA accepts band and of sub-MM for the sub-millimeter wavelength contacts. And club or group logs must be uploaded via a POTO account designated for a group, or excuse me, designated for a club / group, not via an individual's account. Let me reset the timers again. And number 6, invalid QSOs in the log will be rejected. Duplicate QSOs will be rejected by the upload tool. For POTA, the uniqueness of a QSO is determined by the combination of a user account that the log was uploaded under, i.e. owner of the station call sign, the call, the mode, the QSO date, the band, my SIG information, and the SIG info, and the location. Chosen at the time of upload if part crosses state lines. Call may not be the same as station call sign or operator, i.e. a station or operator cannot work themselves, and the QSOs cannot be dated in the future. Note, if the information documented in the rules section differs from information provided elsewhere on the site, guides, etc., the rules section will take precedence. Please send us a note and at help@parksontheair.com to inform us about any inconsistency. So I'm going to go ahead. That ends my section, and I'm going to go ahead and see if there's any other check-ins, comments, or questions out there. Please call now.
Kilo 3, Juliet Romeo Zulu with a comment/correction.
All right, the net would like to recognize Kilo 3, Juliet Romeo Zulu. Anyone else would like to make any comments or have any questions, please call now.
T2HA, Kilo 2, Hotel Alpha.
And Kilo Alpha 9, Whiskey Delta X-ray check-in.
Kilo Yankee 4, November Bravo, KY4ND, just a quick check-in and listening.
Philippines.
Okay, I picked up 3 news stations. From the top there, we got K2HA, KA9WDX, it was just checking in. Kilo Yankee 4, November Bravo, that's just checking in also. And there was I caught the last bit of a station. If you could come back again, please, I'd appreciate it.
Delta Yankee 3, X3, Charlie Hotel. Delta Yankee 3, X3, Charlie Hotel, from Philippines.
Okay, and I'd like to recognize Delta Yankee 3, X-ray Charlie Hotel. So let's go ahead and start to the top of the list here and for the comments and questions. So K3JRZ, go ahead, sir.
Good evening, again. There's a person that mentioned about how PARC becomes a part of the program. It has to be a federal or state PARC. It cannot be a city or county park. There might be some exceptions when the state manages a city park or parks. There is such a situation in Delaware where the city of Wilmington gave up that right to the state, so the state grouped them all together and drew one state park, although there are 3 separate locations. To get a park added, well, I would also say that it doesn't have to be a park. It could be a wildlife area or management area for the state or national wildlife refuge, or a historic trail or river system, which is a new thing that the National Park Service has created. But to have a park become or an entity of the program, you need to submit the information to the area mapping coordinator, and they will be taken under advisement. They don't add all the parks all the time. It only depends on what countries also that the program is currently active in. More information could probably be gotten from the Parks on the Air website under the information for the mapping coordinators. I know the FAQ has a section on how to add a park, which basically will explain that same thing I've just mentioned. But other than that, that's it. Back to Net Control. This is K3JRZ. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. That was great information. Thanks for putting that out there for us. That's pretty interesting. Okay, so I'm going to move down the list to K2HA. Fred, go ahead with your comments.
Okay, for more information about that, you can go not to the POTA app, but if you want to go to parksontheair.com, parksontheair.com, and there's a list of program administrators, but if you're in a different country, country administrators of the world staff. And you can see there that which hams are in charge of that country, and you can contact them. But there are a lot of open slots there. And if you want to volunteer, you can volunteer, put your name in right there on that website from whatever country you're in to become like a coordinator, and you can help get more parks from that country. Parks, they presently do not have, they are not adding any new parks in the United States unless it is a new park that is created. But at the moment, no other parks are being, as of this moment. Okay, this is Fred, K2HA.
This is Kilo Oscar 4, Uniform Mike Quebec returning. Thank you for that, Fred. That's pretty interesting stuff there. Okay, so I got three more on my list. Bernie and Scott, they both were just check-ins. And Delta Yankee 3 X-Ray Charlie Hotel, did you have any comments or were you just checking in this evening?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Sir Woody. I don't have any suggestion of the question. I just want to only just log into your net call. Delta Yankee 3 X-Ray Charlie Hotel, handle name Chester from group of DX3 Latitude, transmit at San Marcelino, Zambales, Philippines. No further traffic, just supporting the net. Back to you, Tito, 73.
Well, thank you for joining us tonight. It's good to hear you from over there in the Philippines, and you have yourself a good evening, good morning, good day, and 73 to you. So that's it for me. I'm going to go ahead and pass the baton over to Fred, K2HA. Sir, are you ready to take over?
Yes, I am. Thank you for passing the baton over to me. This is Fred, K2HA, the happy amateur here in Broomall, Pennsylvania. And my section has to do with hunting. And I do a lot of hunting. So just wanted to fill you in on some tips that might help you. First, check the spotting page and tune to the frequency listed. Most stations are spotted, but not all of them. JT Alert and DX Summit can be helpful in finding additional POTA stations. And every once in a while they show up on FT8 and FT4, and they're not spotted anywhere. So you might want to check that. So when you listen, don't be discouraged. If you can't hear them strongly, you can always use an SDR. More about that later. Now, listen carefully to the style of the activator. Some activators permit calls immediately at the end of the last contact, and others only take calls when they call QRZ. In pileups, some activators take the strongest station. Others wait to hear clearly at the end of the tremendous noise and pick out some call letters. Remember that pileups just sound like a gigantic blast, and the activator can hear nothing until it subsides. If you are a QRP station, make sure you include QRP following your call letters. That might get you right in. If the pileup is too loud and ongoing, work a different station and then come back when the pileup diminishes. Some activators make a list, and it is to your advantage to be fourth or fifth on the list. Other activators get overwhelmed with the pileups, and they switch to the numbers. They call each section in order, and then they throw in there any DX stations, any QRP, or any mobile stations. Other activators have fantastic hearing, or a logger sitting next to them, and will copy 5 to 7 stations out of the pileup and call them in order. Wait until you are called. You have to see. That's a courtesy. Now, CW contacts are fairly easy to make because each contact is in the same pattern. Call letter, signal report, state or country. They have pileups also. Wait for it to diminish. Most activators will match your speed on CW. Let's reset. Now, SDRs, software-defined radios on the Internet, are a blessing for the serious hunter. I use them every day. High local noise levels, heavy QRM from stations in your area just overpowering you on the frequency can prevent you from successfully making a contact unless you use an SDR. Try a number of your favorite internet SDRs, and if you hear the station clearly, even though you can't at your location, give them a call. Many times I get back 5-9, and I can barely hear them 1-1. You may even hear your signal when you call. Soon you will find out if you're heard when the activator responds to you. Internet SDRs are provided by generous hams and clubs around the world. They're there for your use, mostly free. Some ask for a donation. Almost a complete list of SDRs is on websdr.org. websdr.org. In my experience, I have often received strong signal reports from an activator when I can barely hear the signal in my station. This happens at least 10 to 20 times a week. Remember, there is a few second time delay when using an internet SDR to hear a station. Timing becomes important. If the activator is taking the first call heard, there are great SDRs around the world. Try the ones in Europe and in Asia. Go around and find out which continent you can hear best in, and maybe you'll make those contacts. Warning, POTA hunting and activating is addictive, and it is a lot of fun. With frequent contacts, you develop friends among the activators. I'm amazed how many activators say they miss me if they haven't heard me in a while. And they say, where have you been? Okay. Don't forget about hunting digitally. Sometimes there's no RF. So try the CW or the FT8 or FT4. Is very useful when conditions are poor. Many activators do band hopping, switching bands and modes. You get credit for the park during the same day. Now the best time to reach DX parks in other countries is to work the gray line. You can use PSK Reporter to display the gray line and see who hears your transmission. It just comes right up on the screen. I'm using a mystery dipole for all my contacts here in Pennsylvania, and it does not do well on 10 meters. one night I was on 10 meters. I have a high SWR. And on FT8, I was contacted by 8 Japanese stations in a row, and I never called one of them. So I logged all 8 of them. They heard me clearly. East Coast U.S. to Japan is not usually easy. That night I had a pipeline. Also remember that when you contact a park on FT8, you might be getting credit for more than one park. Last week I contacted a station in England and ended up with 3 parks. Now, there are lots of awards in Parks on the Air. You can print them all if you want as you accumulate them. I presently have over 40 awards on POTA. However, the most significant statistic for me is the number of unique parks contacted. Let me reset here. Now, my present, this is K2HA, my present all year, all time, unique park count is 5,194. That puts me in 33rd place of all the hunters. Not bad. Not on the top, though. If you're seeking to contact most parks in the present year, each unique park counts towards that total. Contacting the same park many times doesn't count in the park total. The yearly list starts at 0 each year. The all-time unique list is cumulative. So every year, if you're playing the year count, you have to start all over again. Resetting. Now, for those of you with not equipment or in antenna restricted or just hampered by living circumstances, etc., you can use remote stations. Remote ham radio, RHR, is available for $99 a year and a permitted charge. Remote hams is free, but requires a transceiver that connects to their software and to other remote stations for making contacts. It works. It also supports amplifier and antenna control through the software. Blind hams have handy ham remote base HF stations for the service. This service can be operated from a PC or an Android device. These are just a few tips on successful hunting. Jump in and try your hand at contacting some parks. If nothing else, it keeps the bands busy, which is important for amateurs to keep our frequency allocations. There are always some commercial entities seeking to take over the ham bands for their use. POTA is a way to be active, build your skills, and to make contacts on more and more bands. For example, there is an award for having QSOs from 10 different parks on 10 different bands as a hunter or an activator. Thanks for listening. Are there any questions for K2HA? Okay, I don't hear any questions. And so we can go on to N4FTD. Paul, your turn.
Okay, Fred, thank you very much. This is Paul in Fort Myers, Florida, N4FTD. And it's hard to follow that, Fred. You are definitely the hunter's hunter. Like so many longtime hams who started out, as I did it back in the 70s, I went through a period of almost 2 decades when I was mostly inactive on the air. One of the things that brought me back was Echolink and SCAR's VOIP that we're on tonight. The thing that got me back on HF was Parks on the Air. And I learned about it on YouTube. For somebody like me who likes a good old-fashioned rag chew, Perks on the Air doesn't really seem to fit my style. I belonged to the Rag Chewers Club when I was 15 years old as a novice, using CW only to communicate. I had very many 30 and even 60-minute QSOs with hams much older than me as a high schooler, all on CW. I've always had the gift of gab. So why would someone like me enjoy a one-minute QSO swapping signal reports, locations, and call signs before saying 73, followed by CQ POTA, this is N4FTD. Let me buy a nickel. Well, as Fred mentioned, as he was sharing about his experiences hunting for POTA stations, one of the reasons is because it's a lot of fun, and I'm sure you heard that in Fred's presentation. But what makes it fun? Hunting requires patience because you're competing to be called by an activator. If you're the activator, though, everybody wants to talk to you. Who doesn't love to be wanted? I love the excitement of being on the end of a pileup where everyone wants to talk to me. That's probably my first reason for being a POTA activator. After that, though, it's all work. First, I have to pack my vehicle full of equipment and antennas so I can set up outdoors and power my rig with batteries. That's a lot of work. Why would anyone want to go to all that trouble? Why not just stay in the shack and call CQ or become a hunter? Well, one reason has to do with FCC Part 97. One of the purposes of ham radio is preparedness. Hams are licensed communicators. If we prepare for it, we can communicate when commercial infrastructure goes down, like during natural disasters, hurricanes, tornadoes, fires, and all the rest. POTA activators learn how to pack their equipment in go kits, travel to operating sites outdoors, unpack, and set up in a pretty short time. That's part of the experience and the fun. Let me buy another nickel. In my experience, POTA operators are like a subculture within the larger ham radio fraternity. POTA operators share tips with each other on how to operate efficiently and effectively on battery power with easily deployed portable antennas. It's almost like a game to see not only how many contacts you can make, but how quickly you can set up and tear down after an activation. If you want to get a feel for a POTA activator's experience, go to YouTube. In fact, you can go to K3JRZ website on YouTube, his YouTube channel, and type in POTA activation if you want to check some more out. Even if you never operate outside of your shack, it's fun to experience a POTA activation through a YouTube video. That's how I got started. Let me reset. Now, what really got me started with POTA, though, was necessity. Necessity, they say, is the mother of invention. When you live in an HOA or a neighborhood where long antennas are frowned upon or even prohibited, you have to get creative to operate on HF, those long antennas. Every antenna I use at home is designed and set up to be portable. I've gotten pretty good at designing antennas that I can quickly set up and take down when I want to operate. POTA activating is an opportunity to experiment with different kinds of antennas. For someone like me who doesn't know how to build their own transceiver, I'm left with making my own antennas. I can do that. I've got an antenna analyzer. After all these years, I finally bought one. I can cut a dipole or wind a toroid, make its 49-to-1 transformer, hook it into the end of a 67-foot end-fed wire, and get on 40 through 10 meters without a tuner. That's what POTA activators get good at. It's just one more step to a 30-minute. It's only one more step to a 30-minute rag chew if I want to extend my stay in the park. That's what I do when I'm going to spend the night in a park that allows overnight camping. Let me reset. Right now I'm sitting in my camper van and my rig is bungee corded to the desk that I made inside it. And I can take off from my favorite spot just 15 minutes from home on the shores of the Caloosahatchee River. Parking there, I can operate for a few hours, watch a beautiful sunset, then head home with takeout dinner for my wife and me. For that, I use a 25-foot ham stick, or $25 ham stick, sorry, my ICOM 7300, and a BioNO 20-amp-hour battery. That's it. Insert the quick disconnect ham stick where my coax is already run to the rig. Just turn it on and get on the air. I'm working right now on a faster way to move the rig and battery combo from my shack to the RV and then back within about 5 minutes. Or even less, because it's the only HF rig I own, so it has to keep moving back and forth. Oh, and the noise level on HF is often way lower out in the field than in the shack. Using this same rig and battery, I activated a POTUS site last summer from the beach at Cape Henelopen State Park in Delaware. This beach looks north across the Delaware Bay toward Cape May in New Jersey. Earning those 10 required contacts to make an official activation took a lot of physical work on that day. Like a crazy person, I carried a folding table and a chair at least a quarter mile down the beach just so I could say I activated from a beach. It's amazing how much stuff you can cram into a backpack. Take a look at the photo on my QRZ page. That's me operating from that beach after setting up my NZ half-wave sloping antenna supported by a 41-foot pole made out of fiberglass. One more reset. When I finally sat down to operate on that beach, I had a feeling of accomplishment along with a bit of exhaustion from dragging all that stuff down the beach. I worked stations all over the country that day. I think that was also the day I worked Fred, K2HA. He was hunting from Pennsylvania and gave me another contact for my activation. On the way back to the RV, I eyed a large wheeled folding wagon on the surf at the surf shop and almost bought it to carry with me during the rest of my month-long trip. That included several activations along the Blue Ridge Parkway, which is one long park of about 470 miles. I still end up using a folding wagon to pack my portable station to outdoor locations away from my comfortable RV or car. That's why I love POTA. Try it. You may love it too. For those who would like to do some research, please feel free to look me up on QRZ. My QRZ page has a section where I give credit to my 21st century Elmers, hams who have taken the time to share what they know and what they love with others using YouTube videos. And I'm going to add Jeff, K3JRZ. I didn't know he did that. So I find YouTube to be a modern-day miracle for any new or returning ham who's trying to get on the air or to explore something new in the hobby we all love. I've taken the time to list some of my favorite Elmers on that QRZ page. Maybe that'll save you some time in your search for tips and tricks you can use when exploring POTA or something similar, your ham radio hobby. I don't know who gets it next, but hopefully you know it's your turn, and I'm going to turn it back to the next net control. This is M4FTD.
Well, that'll be me, David, K9EWG. And before I start on my section here, I just got to mention, I did see Bernie, K9WDX, did mention the Wisconsin Parks on the Air, which usually takes place in the fall. I did participate in a Wisconsin POTA back in 2019 at the Riverland Amateur Radio Club, and we are planning on reactivating that during Wisconsin POTA again this year, and it will be at the Pearl State Park, which on the POTA map is K1471. Something I mentioned that there, that we will be activating that this fall during Wisconsin Parks on the Air. Anyways, good evening all, KB9EWG, and this is my section here on the presentation this evening. And we're talking about additional notes and guidance here. So I'll be finishing up the program this evening with a few more facts and asking if there's any further questions. Parks on the Air does not require a specific exchange in a QSO. Qualifications of parks, trails, and rivers for admission to Parks on the Air. All parks must be owned and operated by a state, provincial, or federal national agency. We do not include parks that have a part or shared ownership, sponsorship, or are operated by private organizations or local governments. Let me read here. All right. To be considered for inclusion, the park must meet the above requirements and offer an informational website detailing the current boundary maps. POTA does not create subparks within existing parks. If both parks are owned and operated by the same state, provincial, or federal agency, or federal or national agency, please be aware that we may be temporarily holding the entry of most new parks in the U.S. with an exception for newly commissioned parks. Okay, reporting violations of the rules. Parks on the Air is a self-regulated community monitored program. If you observe a violation of these rules that you feel may need to be followed up on, you may report the violation to help@parksontheair.com. You must provide enough details to prove without a doubt that the violation occurred before action will be taken. Park access and information. If a listed park is permanently closed, public access is prohibited per the park access section of these rules. The park is no longer exists. You are told you are not allowed to operate or any of the information about the park needs to be updated. Please report to help@parksontheair.com. Let me reset here. Okay. Guidelines, interpretations, and intent. Parks on the Air has kept its rules simple because the idea is just to get out and have fun. For some individuals, though, this can be somewhat ambiguous. So this document section provides guidelines on POTA administrators and developers' intent when setting up the system. Deviating from these guidelines won't get you in any trouble, but it may cause your stats and awards to behave differently than you other may want to expect there. Let me set one more time here. Park boundaries and multi-park activations. Please be aware of the beauty and the simplicity of the rule of activator, and all equipment must be within the park boundary and on the public property. If an activator is straddling the park or state lines, they are therefore not fully within the boundary and are out of compliance with the rule. Similarly, for multi-park activation, the activator and all equipment must be entirely within the bounds of each park being claimed. So multi-task park activations can only occur if the activator is physically located in an intersection where all the claimed parks overlap. So clubs and multiple operators. In general, individuals should not use each other's call signs on the air, but instead use a club or a special event call. In situations with multiple operators, the club or a special event call should be used over the air, just like on field day, and recorded in the station call sign field. The individual who made the contact should record their call sign generally not used over the air in the operator field. Once uploaded to the account, the station holder of the station call sign, key logging requirements section 3, the system will count the QSO towards awards for both the holder of the station call sign and holder or operator of the call sign. Let me reset here. Please refer to POTUS Club Guide for Clubs for any recommended practices for planning, conducting, and spotting for club group activities. Passing the mic. When multiple individuals are activating together but not under club call, the operators may choose to pass the mic and take turns making contacts. In these situations, each individual should maintain and submit their own log according to the logging requirements section of these rules. A minimum necessary deviation from the guidelines may be made to accommodate an operator with a disability in a club or multiple operators activation. The practice of passing the mic within the country's rules and regulations. But before closing this next year, I'd like to ask if there's any last check-ins or comments or anything else for tonight this evening. This is KB9EWG. Okay, I'll put out one last call. Anybody wish to check in, make any comments or have anything else before I secure the next year? This will be the end of the program otherwise. This is KB9EWG. All right, well, I want to thank everybody for your participation this evening. It's been a fun net. It's certainly been educational, and I'm looking forward to participating with our club in the fall with the Wisconsin Parks on here, and I'm going to try to get out and do some activation myself throughout the summertime here. So anyways, this has been SCARS UIP. Net schedules and general information may be found on our SCARS VOIP website. That's scarsvoip.com. This has been David, KB9EWG, closing this net for the evening and returning the server back to normal amateur use. Thank you all and have a great evening from KB9EWG.